Crossing a boundary or a threshold can be a frightening experience, like the boundary we just crossed from Christmas break back to the first day of classes. We move from one status to another, and sometimes that means a movement from a set of circumstances we are very familiar with to one that is wholly unfamiliar to us. Anthropologists call this a rite of passage, and they describe it as having three stages: separation from the old state, the crossing of a boundary, and then reincorporation into a new status. Now, most anthropologists point to the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt as a classic example of a rite of passage. And in the Red Sea crossing, all the elements are there. You have the movement of the children of Israel from Egypt through the Red Sea, and then their incorporation into their new status as the wandering people of God. And how frightening that must have been for them. If you read it, you know that they were very afraid. And yet God's presence led them through on a cloud to their deliverance, to their salvation from their enemies. No wonder Paul describes this as baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, the crossing of the River Jordan is another rite of passage, even though many people don't see it as such. And yet all the elements here are part of a rite of passage. The separation from the wilderness wanderings, the crossing over of the Jordan River, and now their incorporation into the promised land. But they too must have been afraid. For even though this was the promised land, it was a land that was unknown to them, and they knew that there were fierce enemies there to confront. And like the Red Sea crossing, there are also some strong baptismal overtones. Joshua, like Moses, leads the people across a boundary of water. The Ark of the Covenant, like the cloud, the visible presence of God among the people, it is that that leads them through the waters. And the priests who are bearing the Ark of the Covenant, when they dip their feet into the brink of the waters part, and the Israelites can now cross the Jordan on dry ground. And of course, after crossing the river, there is the promised land that God had chosen for them. The land that is a foretaste of the heavenly place that God has in store for all his saints. And is it any wonder then that Joshua would tell the people before all of this happened, he would say to them, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Now, the symbol of the Jordan River as a baptismal river was not unknown among the early church fathers. And you will find it in both the baptismal liturgies and the baptismal homilies. Gregory of Nyssa, for example, saw Joshua anticipating Christ's baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. And in his sermon on Joshua 3, interestingly preached on Epiphany, when they consecrated the baptismal waters in his church, Gregory encourages his congregation to imitate Jesus, carry the gospel as he carried the ark, leave the desert of sin, cross the Jordan, and enter toward life in Christ, toward the earth which bears fruits of joy, where run according to the promise streams of milk and honey. For Gregory, the water of the Jordan purifies and cleanses, as Jesus purified and cleansed all water when he entered into the Jordan River for his baptism. And perhaps Luther captured that best in the flood prayer of his baptismal liturgy. Luther prayed, "Almighty eternal God, through the baptism of thy dear child, our Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast consecrated and set apart the Jordan and all water as a salutary flood and a rich and full washing away of sins." Yesterday, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord as his first public act as Messiah, where he declared to all the world that a new era of salvation had arisen. A great prophet had come. God had visited his people in the flesh. Jesus' baptism set him aside as the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And there in the Jordan, the same Jordan that Joshua crossed with the Israelites, the heavens open, the Spirit comes down, and the Father announces to the world, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." There Jesus takes his place alongside of us, in solidarity with us, ready to take our place, bear our sins, be our Savior. And those waters of the Jordan that first delivered Israel into the Promised Land, they now become a salutary flood for all people when Jesus enters those waters in his baptism. We all know, however, that after the Israelites crossed that Jordan, they were not as faithful to God's promises as they should have been. And that is why Jesus must return to the Jordan. His solidarity with us means that he can now do what Israel could not do, what you and I cannot do. Be completely faithful and obedient to God, his Father, even unto death, death on a cross, and therefore conquer sin, death, and the devil. And his work of substitution for us begins immediately following his baptism, when, full of the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. His Spirit-filled baptism launches him now as the bearer of the Spirit in his work of obedience to the Father in all things. And that substitutionary work was referred to later on by him in his life as a bloody bath. Jesus told his disciples, "Fire I came to throw on the earth, and how I wish if already it was kindled. But a baptism I have to be baptized with, and how I am in distress until such time it is accomplished." Jesus' ministry is framed by baptism, a water bath in the Jordan to begin it, and a bloody bath on the cross to end it. A bloody bath where the full wrath of God is laid upon him, and he bears it willingly for us. Our baptism is a rite of passage. It is the most important crossing we will ever take. And we usually don't associate fear with baptism. But when we enter those waters, we move from death to the world to life in Christ. And that places us in the center of this cosmic struggle between Christ and Satan, between light and darkness. And that is frightening. And yet, as the Israelites were safely led through the Jordan by the Ark of the Covenant, so our Lord Jesus Christ goes before us into the Jordan to make those waters safe for us. That is why our baptism is our womb, where we are born out of darkness into light. That's why baptism is our tomb, where we die with Christ. We get the whole death thing over with, and we rise to a life that never ends. When you baptize, you will, like Joshua, lead your people across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And the Lord will be with you, as he was with Joshua when he said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." And not only will the Lord be with you, but he will work through you as that bloody bath that forever transformed the world, that bath will be present in the waters you apply with the Word of God upon the saints God has given you to baptize, so that you might take your people across that river whose streams make glad the city of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.